Our first reading is from Acts 11, beginning at the first verse. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he'd seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He'll give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you'll baptize with the Holy Spirit.' And if then God gave them the same gift that he gives us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Revelation. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He'll dwell with them. He will be his people's, and God himself will be with them. He'll wipe every tear from their eye, and death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated at the throne said, 'See, I'm making all things new.' And also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And then he said to me, 'It is done. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I'll give water as a gift from the Spirit of water of life.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
During the supper, he had gone out. Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. It may come as a shock, but I never really subscribed to a particular denomination of Christianity. I never wanted the apparent conformity, control, or judgment of it all. As many of you knew, I grew up in a rather charismatic Baptist church and then attended a Catholic secondary school. And then in my 20s, I found myself stumbling into the nearest church, and that happens to be a Church of England. I never wanted to be pigeonholed. For me, faith in Christ was fundamental to each of these traditions. It was more about where I felt most comfortable, where I felt God was leading or trying to reach me. On any government, education, or employment form under religion, I always wrote the word Christian, priding myself on being above the seemingly pettiness of denomination. I was also hugely repelled by the wars and hatred that seemed to be on the news when I was growing up. In particular, for me, that was around the Protestants versus Catholics in Northern Ireland. I never really understood the difference and what they were really arguing about. But as with all battles done in the name of faith, we all know that it's people that cause the wars, not the faiths they profess to follow. Yet here I am, about to take my vows and become a rev in the Anglican Church. So what's changed, you may ask? Well, I still fundamentally call myself a Christian and believe that all denominations should be equally respected. However, I find myself here primarily due to the wonderful community I've experienced at St. Peter's over the last 20 years. I've also come to realise that there's a broad spectrum of theological beliefs and church traditions even within the Anglican Church itself, and it reaches all over the world. What's more, we're encouraged to explore our beliefs and question if we don't understand something, therefore deepening our faith over time. I love that, and I need that. Difference and change, in my mind, should be celebrated and actively sought out, rather than viewed as something to be fearful of. Variety, as they say, is the spice of life. In the reading in today's Gospel, we hear Jesus talking of a new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment. I don't know about you, but for me, on first glances, this doesn't seem very new. Not much different to the one in Leviticus many hundreds of years before Christ came along, where the Israelites were ordered to love thy neighbour as thyself. Isn't this just the same message, but slightly rebranded? However, when we look more deeply into the text, it's not exactly what Jesus appears to be saying at all. And as with all Bible references, context is everything. This conversation takes place during a very specific time, the Last Supper, and crucially immediately follows Judas Iscariot leaving the table to betray him. This is actually the person that John refers to right at the beginning of the reading when he says, when he had left. Out of context from the rest of the story, you could easily be forgiven for wondering who on earth he meant. Judas had left to betray him. Jesus then turns to the other disciples and sets about trying to explain that he will soon be leaving and he knows his death and arrest is imminent. He tries to explain that God is with him and that when he dies, the Holy Spirit will continue this journey with them. Jesus signposts that he's about to give this new command, not a rehashed one from 100 years prior. So how is what Jesus commanding new? When we consider the context, it really isn't the same as Leviticus' command to love our neighbours. It's an urgent, more pressing command. The disciples must be bound in love like never before, to never be divided as Judas had just demonstrated. They must be willing to die for one another just as Jesus was prepared to. It sets the solidarity and strength required to overcome rejection and threat from the world. Jesus sets them the example. They had followed him, seen him preach, witnessed his boundless love for them. But his love for them was unshakable, faithful, honest, and steadfast even to death. His message was directed to his followers to not be divided, but to be loyal to each other. And above all, love. On reflection, I wonder how Jesus' message is relevant to the quarrels that go on amongst Christians today and throughout the ages. Don't get me started about Henry VIII and the Reformation, otherwise I'll be here all day. But there are so many divided theologies that we can find ourselves embroiled in amongst our peers with and outside of our denominations. At the time of the Last Supper, Jesus needed his disciples to stick together. The future of Christianity totally and utterly relies on them not arguing amongst themselves. He calls for unity. He foresees his friends' sorrow and encourages them to be united in love to find strength to keep his message. He explains that they cannot physically follow him and that he's about to depart this life. He refers to his friends as children, not in a patronizing way as it might maybe imply, but actually as a demonstration of his unconditional love for them. He loves them unconditionally, just as a parent loves their child. In this room, do we have unconditional love for one another? Maybe that sounds a tough ask, especially for those that have been involved in PCC meetings before. But as disciples, we're called to do the same, starting with our Christian family. It doesn't mean we can't get frustrated or angry with people. Jesus also got angry. To be Christian doesn't mean to be passive or to agree with everyone. We are not called to agree. We should challenge our thinking when we need to. We have to stay relevant in our communities. Failing to stay relevant will result in more of our churches closing. Fresh thinking and new approaches should be embraced. Standing still is not an option. We may not like some of our Christian brothers and sisters at times, but we have been commanded to love all. The message today is threefold. Firstly, as Christians, not to focus on what separates us from other Christians, but rather more to celebrate what we have in common. Secondly, to not allow ourselves to get embroiled in the damaging interdenominational prejudices and theological battles and take our eyes off Jesus. We need to be mindful how this looks to those who are non-Christian or outside of the church. Is this really the reputation that Jesus was striving for? And finally, for us to listen to new ideas from each other with an open heart. This will be essential if we want to continue to take Christ to our community here in London Colney. After 20 years of attending St. Peter's in this wonderfully loving community, I've witnessed and personally benefited from many people here doing their part in honouring Jesus' new command. No doubt, myself and my family will call on it almost immediately after this service, as you console us for Watford losing 6-0 yesterday in the FA Cup final. That hurts and we need your support more than ever. I was confirmed here. Chris and I were married here. We've had our children baptized here. I heard my calling to priesthood here. None of these things were done alone. They were done with the support of the people here, through loving one another, just as Christ did. And whilst my family and I are very sad to leave you all behind, we know that you, our Christian brothers and sisters, will always be in our hearts. Amen.
Please be seated for our prayers.
God has commanded us to love one another. Out of love for all people, we now bring their needs before the Lord. Lord, bless your church here at St. Peter's, that we may be a real example of your presence and the power of your resurrection. Help our church community here to show the signs of new life and joy in you. Through our relationship with you, may we show that we are truly your disciples, and by so doing, bring others to be faithful too. We ask your blessing on all who are seekers, all who are new in faith, and all who are struggling with doubt and darkness. We pray for Sarah as she prepares to move from this parish to that of St. Peter and St. Paul in Tring. Guide her on the path you have prepared for her, so that she may remain your faithful servant throughout her life. Bless and strengthen her husband, Chris, and her sons, Samuel and Noah, who will share the journey with her. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, bless the world with your peace, the peace that the world cannot achieve on its own. We pray for peace between nations and peoples. We ask your blessing upon all peacemakers and upon the work of all agencies whose task it is to broker peace between nations at a time when there appears to be no way through the political debating. We pray for all who live in fear for their lives and all who have lost confidence in themselves and the world around them. We remember war-torn cities and places that have suffered natural disasters and all who bring new life and courage to oppressed peoples. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are called to govern and all who influence the minds of others. We pray for the leaders of industry and great multinational companies and for all whom they work with. We remember especially those who are seeking a solution to the political crisis in this country, remembering those who are feeling uncertain about their future. Lord, as we are called to vote in the week ahead, help those who analyse the outcome to advise with clarity and impartiality. We ask for your guidance in understanding the way ahead in our lives, in our church, and in our country. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, you are the God of love. Help us to love those around us. Help us to show your love in our homes and be safe from those things which make us difficult to live with. Help us to show your love at our work, that we may live in partnership for the common good. Help us to show your love in our church fellowship, sharing in friendship and worship with one another as we meet in your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Lord, your peace is our strength in time of weakness. We remember before you all who have suffered bereavement and those who are suffering due to the loss of a loved one. We pray for the lonely, the sad, and those separated from their loved ones through illness. We particularly hold before you Marjorie Jackson and her sisters, Susan and Mary, at this time. We remember those on our prayer list and think of them now, together with any in need known to us personally. In the silence, we offer them to you now. Lord, we pray for all of us present here today. You know, Lord, those who are in special need at this time. Uphold us all in the days ahead, and assure each one of us of your unfailing presence and peace within us. We ask for your blessing on all who serve you, our bishops, priests, laypeople. We ask that you strengthen our Queen, Elizabeth, and give thanks for her faithful and steadfast duty in the service of this country. And finally, together with all your saints and angels, we commend ourselves and those we love to your unceasing care. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.